Hyped. I'm hyped up.
Yeah. Yeah.
What am I doing here?
Well, let's get into that. So welcome to the show, everyone. This is Reptiles Unplugged. As you can tell, we got Jay filling in for Adam. Adam has a family emergency going on, so everyone keep him in your thoughts and your prayers. He needs some moral support right now. And while we're doing all that, my name is Shane, Small Town Exotics. You can find me on smalltownexotics.com, Instagram, YouTube, Patreon. And my normal co-host, Adam, Beach Bum Exotics, he's on Morph Market, Instagram, YouTube, all the normal places. And my cool co-host tonight,
it's Jay from Greenline Morphs, and you can find me on Instagram, Morph Market, and Facebook.
That's right, that's right. So I think Adam usually goes over here and does some congratulating. So we got Nikki... We got to give validation. We got Nikki. Nikki says she loves Moose. We all love Moose. We got Jamie. Jamie was second. What's up, Jamie? We got the fat man, Chris Eaton. Yep, it's nice to see Moose. I had to get Moose on here. And we got Ken from LMK. Ken, yep. What's up, Ken? Thanks for stopping by. And let's go ahead. Well, we got Ashley, too. Hi, Ashley. And, well, last week I was supposed to bring up something and I forgot. Man, rest in peace, Ozzy. Dude, I've been going through every single album over and over and over again. Dude, it's been a hell of a week.
I've seen all your posts. I think you've posted everything.
Man, so rest in peace, Ozzy. I know it's not reptile related, but he's a big part of my life. That's for sure. So rest in peace, man. Rock on, dude. And let's bring out, who is this guy? What's up, Moose?
What up, y'all?
How's it going, dude?
Man, we're living the dream, trying to make a dollar out of 15 cent. You know how it is in this reptile world.
Yep.
Yeah.
We're pretty crazy.
So, Moose, give us the elevator pitch. What is Moose and Great Balls of Fryer?
So you talking like you want an elevator pitch, like how did I get started or just what I am now, or
what are you right now? We'll get into your history here in a minute.
Well, basically what we're doing is we're still sticking with what we said from the jump, was which we're doing purpose-driven genetics with the ball python world. We've slowly started gracing over into the king snakes with all of its different locales. Absolutely love king snakes, by the way. And recently was approached by a fellow friend of mine who wanted to get together in a collaboration on how to get a frozen feeder business up and running. So I have been doing that since December. And knock on titanium or whatever this MacBook is made of, that's done really well for us. So I could proudly say now that I've diversified in this business. We're sticking with our glue, which is our ball python sales. But what's keeping us relevant and keeping us in the game is going to be our frozen feeders, which I've grown to love to bring to shows and sell. It's just a whole different clientele. You get to talk to them more. You actually get to drop a little bit more knowledge on them. So I definitely enjoy that side of it. But this is going to be our first big year. When I show up at Bob's show in Atlanta in Duluth, not this weekend, but next weekend, I'm going to have the most snakes I've ever had in my entire life on a table. So I'm looking forward to finally getting to, you know, actually show up with all barrels loaded and show everything that we've been able to make over the last 6 or 7 years while we've been growing everything up.
Nice, man. How many clutches are you at so far this year?
So we're right at about 30. I've got two more that are cooking the other day walking through, and I haven't really had a chance to ultrasound because I'll be honest with you. I was a tad bit overwhelmed because those 30 all came between June 30th between June 1st and June 30th. So I was, you know, we were having three or four clutches a day. I'll say I was intimidated. I really was. And so I stopped even ultrasound, and I didn't even want to, you know, next thing you know, I've got 60 clutches and just not be prepared. So my incubator was totally stacked to the brim with all the shelves out. So we stopped. But the other day when I went into cleaning, I found a couple of good other ovulations on people that I kind of just forgot about, and nature took care of their course. So we'll probably be close to 40 when it's all said and done. More than anything, I'm just more worried about having healthy babies, you know, good quality genetics, you know, healthy, will eat. You're not going to be calling me back in 30, 40 days saying they're not eating. They're definitely going to be monsters on the midway by the time you get them from me.
Yeah, good, man. Good. Well, I'm happy that it's all kicking off for you, man. I know it's been kind of hit and miss over the years and all that. And I'm sitting over here laughing because a similar thing happened to me at the end of 23. Like, they all dropped, 32 clutches hatched, like, all in December. And I was like, what? I know exactly what you're talking about. Like, I ain't ultrasounding. I'm taking care of babies.
Yeah, that's basically it. And I had to buy a whole new rack to keep up, which was something I was nowhere in the plans this year. I was like, oh, yeah, these two racks I got, they'll work. No, they were full within the first 15 days of June. So had to back up and punt. I think I got one of Levinson's old rack. So it's pretty cool that I've actually got that one. It's that old white one that he had made with the red and blue racks, where he had the red, white, and blue room there for a while. Yeah. So it's one of those old ones with the that takes the FB8s and the FB5. So it's pretty awesome that I was able to work up a deal and get that thing.
Well, cool. So you already mentioned you're going to be at Southeast, and that is basically a week and a half away.
Yep.
Cool, man.
It's one Cena appearance away for you WWF people out there. It's one Cena appearance away from happening. Of course, y'all have no idea. If you don't listen to wrestling, you have no idea what I'm talking about. It's one John Cena appearance away from happening.
So let's dive into your history a little bit. So when did Great Balls of Fire start? Like, what year were you like, hey, I want to breed ball pythons and sell them?
Yeah. So basically what happened to me is I tried it back in 2010, wanted to get involved with it. It was something that I kind of sort of did just because I had a male and a female snake. And it was like, hey, I'd like to make a whole bunch of these ones that I really like. It was back when pinstripes were thousands of dollars and stuff like that. So I didn't really get into it that much. I just got a promotion at work. I had some health scares that happened. So I just kind of went, okay, I'm just going to have to abandon this for now and work on me and work on the family and work on the job at the same time. And, you know, I kind of went away with it, but it was always, you know, there in the back of my head where I always loved reptile keeping, you know, even if it was just on a hobby form, I just really enjoyed it. So there was a part of me that always said, if I got an opportunity, not necessarily that I was going to start it on my own, but if I got an opportunity to where I could maybe do this as something instead of having, you know, Jennifer having a part-time job or me having to pick up a whole bunch of different overtime and stuff like that to make ends meet, it'd be something cool that I could do. And got closer to where we had this huge thing happen at work where our retirement went from me retiring when I was 65 to where I'm able to retire 12 years earlier. So we're literally on the cusp of being able to walk away from my job with a full retirement now. So it was already something that was in the back of my brain is, what am I going to do? I don't want to do what I do for the rest of my life. And I definitely don't want to work at McDonald's when I leave here, because it's definitely not going to be something where this is my last job I ever have. So I started thinking about it, and I actually went down to one of our local pet stores, and I saw a Blue-Eyed Lucy, which, of course, to me was something that I wanted to make back when I was doing it, especially the Super Mojave version where, you know, it's got that Frosted Flake head on it and stuff like that. So I got into it, got talking to the guy, worked out a deal, and, you know, and he's like, I thought you bred these. And I was like, no, I stepped away from it. He goes, well, you know, just to bring this up, perfect time. And my ball python person is getting out of ball pythons and sticking to like reticulate. It's an African rock python. So I'm going to be looking for somebody to stock my store if you're interested. And that pretty much just lit the candle under my ass to start thinking about doing it. So we started off slow. You know, I just kind of did the research, kind of like, you know, like me and you talked about, we just did our research, listened to the podcast, try to get the flow of things. And we got started. And fortunately, I was able to befriend some people such as you and some other people along the way where I was able to get the new knowledge, you know, the fresh from the tap knowledge instead of something that might be 2 or 3 years old, so that I know basically what I'm going to be working with. And hooked up with a guy named Brian Brakes, who's out in Tacoma, Washington. And he just kind of set me on the right path of what to buy and try to not necessarily be that first person on the floor, stepping on the floor with something, but maybe that guy that's on the second floor that's going to be rising up with, you know, some newer genetics and dealing with the recessives and stuff like that. So we had decided a long time ago we were going to take our time. I wasn't going to buy any females or, you know, any chance of any red flags from somebody else, you know, that was a breeder. Maybe they're getting rid of them because they get egg bound easy, or they're not a good eater, or they don't go every year kind of thing. So I wanted to make sure everything I got was something I had and I held in my hand, you know, until they were ready to go. So we slow played it. We took it, and I started probably around 18 or 19 gathering together the females we were going to use, and then really hit it hard when it came COVID year, because, you know, the stock was there, the supply was there, the demand was there. So we did a lot during our COVID year to start getting ready, and was able to actually start making a few project pieces for ourselves around 21 or 22. And I think that's when we hooked up and got the chatting and stuff like that. So, but yeah, here we are. 24 and 25 was always our year where we would go, hey, we're ready to go. We're totally loaded. Everything we got's ours. Let's get running. So, you know, this will be our first year where I could really, you know, show what my mind's thinking and what I want to bring to the table as far as when you're dealing with this hobby and the different things that I want to bring and make available to other people.
Well, the different things. So what's your main projects ball python wise?
Well, of course, my main tentpole project, of course, is redhead. That was the first thing that when I started doing research and talking to other people that had been in the hobby, the only thing that really stood out for me was the redhead gene. I was seeing it, you know, I was getting pictures. I got lucky enough to be part of a group where they had been working it since Nick Valdez had found it a couple of years before that. So I was able to see all these, how the head influences were working and how the, you know, how clown would look and now all these different things for these people that were breeding and just holding things back. So I was able to see how it looked in light gene stuff. And I was able to see how it looked in dark gene stuff. And, you know, the whole big deal when you're thinking about it is what's going to be good. Do I like lights or do I like darks? And do I need to concentrate on those? Well, with redhead, either way you went, it made a great example and made a great animal. So we definitely jumped on board with that. A majority of my investment pieces did involve around redhead, and it's going to start showing this year with a lot of the animals that we're going to have available. A lot of multi-gene hypo combos, which I believe redhead and hypo is probably the best as far as like a single recessive into, you know, a combo. In my mind, it's the best looking animal. So we'll get to see a lot of that this year, a lot of head combo, head clown stuff. I've got some clown head hypo stuff I'm hoping to make available this year. But I've grown my stuff out. So I've got some DG hypo stuff that I'm working with, some DG puzzle stuff that I'm working with, some hypo puzzle stuff that I'm working with. And fortunately, it's been stuff that I've been making on my own. So it's my original stock from my original animals, which I'm pretty happy about. So yeah, a lot, I would say probably 40 to 50% of what I have this year will be redhead based or off that redhead platform. So, right. But that's really about it. I just love what other genes I like. I love what is it going to do for me and my main goal. So, you know, other things like I love allelic combos. I love the idea that you could take two totally different genes and they make kind of their own gene, their own recessive themselves. So things like Super Stripe and Candinos and stuff like that, that's just super deep in my wheelhouse. Chocolate spot nose stuff, you know, things that just don't look normal when they're separate, you know. So that's another thing that I'm really big on is the allelic combo stuff.
So do you work clown at all?
We do work clown, mainly, like I said, we're working it with our Redhead Clown stuff, and everything that I do make is with plans for the future, with ultimately making Redhead Hypo Clown combos. That's the one good thing about slow playing this, is that we're not rushing to make a Redhead Clown just to be part of that, you know, making that clown group. You know, we've already got Hypo on board from our main animals. You know, that was the one good thing about it, was my stuff came with Hypo already. There wasn't any hets, and I'd have to make stuff. So we're kind of blessed with every project that I decide to make already is going to have Hypo in tow, which is amazing. So instead of saying, well, I'm going to rush to make a Redhead Clown, we're just going to take a little bit longer, and we're going to make Redhead Hypo Clowns. And then same thing with DG. Our stuff's not going to just be Redhead DG. It's going to be Redhead Hypo DG and Hypo Puzzle and stuff like that. So that's all the plans when I make stuff with Clown. Anything I make DG and then Hypo Puzzle wise and stuff like that, it's always with the plan of going into our original Redhead stock that we've got.
Yeah, that makes it fortunate, since you already had Hypo with it, because you can plug it into any other project that has Hypo and you're like off right. and running. Yeah.
And I enjoyed it because mainly, you buy into a project and you buy an animal, you really don't know where on the hierarchy that it is. You know what I mean? Like, what's the generation of this animal? Like, I bought this case in point stranger. You know, was this, where was this in this hierarchy of stranger being found? And then to the animal that you got, like how many generations, like, is this, oh, this many generations away from the source animal, or is it how many, you know, you don't know how many that's been made. So luckily with Redhead, my main stock is really the third generation from that source animal. So I know it's nice and clean, has been muddled up with something else that might've been in there, and Redhead got pulled out of it. It came straight from a Redhead to a normal to make a, you know, whatever, to the point to where there's Hypo on board. So I feel like we've got a cleaner line that way, and we're making a more visibly striking Redhead than normal people. So, you know, that's the one good thing that made me go the route with that, was that, you know, I've almost got straight from the tap the original example of that animal. So, and not a lot of people could say that with some of the stuff that they're working. So I was pretty proud about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I seen you on Tommy's show talking Redhead.
Yeah, they brought me on specifically for that reason. I was like, oh, Lord, I got to act like I know what I'm doing.
So, you said you recently incorporated, like, frozen rodents at the shows and stuff. Like, what's your show circuit like? How many shows are you doing? What area are you covering? All that.
Well, we decided in December when we were going to go hard into it, I kind of went under your concept of things when it came to social media. I'm never going to say no. So if it was something where me and Jennifer can get away and go and vend, and it wasn't something that was going to take away from my job or take away from her job, and it wasn't going to just drive us badly insane, we did it. So basically, from my first day when I set up with Frozen Rodents in December in Nashville, I decided to find anything that was within, you know, 300 miles, so to speak. If I could set up there, I'm going to be there. Fortunately, with people like Show Me Reptiles, Mickey Meyer, and stuff like that, they don't have necessarily people that are like, when you show up with rats, if there's, you know, he tries to do his best when it makes sure there's not like umpteenth amount of rat vendors, but at the same time, he doesn't do exclusives, which was great for me because, you know, here I am trying to jump into this. You know, you've got some people that's their decision. Their the only diversification that they have is that they show up and sell frozen freeders. So, you know, it was fortunate enough for me that there was enough vendors, enough exhibitors, people that put on shows around me that were just kind of like, hey, come on. We like you. We like what you do. We like the networking that you do, and you're liked by other people. So yeah, come on, bring them on and set them up. So if there was ever an opportunity for me to go, I went. Basically from that all the way through January, all through July, even if it was just a little one day show 2 hours down the road, we went. And if we didn't sell anything, we didn't sell anything. So, but we got the word out there. You know, I let people know that, you know, we might just be in Nashville. We might not ever be set up to be able to do nationwide shipping, but we always are going to be doing these shows in these areas. And if you need to meet up with us, you need to meet up with us. But the main thing that we were trying to drive home is these are animals that are made by us, people who love the hobby, people who love the animals that they make. And they don't want to take a chance of somebody buying thousands of dollars worth of rats from other nations, should I say, and then bringing them over here and doing these crazy markups, and you not knowing what you're feeding your animal. You don't even know what that animal was fed. You know what we wanted to do is sit down and say, hey, look, this is where we make them. This is the food we feed them. This is the bedding that they sleep on and live on, and this is the water that we feed them. You know, it's kind of like we're throwing the veils back and open the curtains and being completely transparent so that you can know the type of food that you're feeding your animal. Because ultimately we love our animals, right? We want them to have the best products. You know, if we're sitting here buying from somebody and they're just throwing cheap ass dog food into the rack with them with some dirty ass water that had never been changed, you know, that's going to incorporate to your animal. You know, it's going to make animals not want to eat, not have that driving feeding response that you want, or maybe getting sick or getting any kind of other ailments or parasites along the way, which either get into your other animals or end up hurting that animal all on its own. So when we decided to do that, we decided to be completely transparent about it. And we were also, I won't say we were undercutting, should I say, but our price point was a ton better. So it did make us compatible with the other people that were already on the market. So, you know, it come across there at the beginning that, man, he's cheaper than everybody else. Well, I'm able to make it cheaper because ultimately I'm just feeding my animals. You're just getting my byproduct from what I'm making for my animals anyway. So I really enjoy it. That's one side of it. I mean, you could sit and talk snakes with people all day. You might sell a snake to somebody one time, but they're going to come back and buy food from you for the life of that animal. So I enjoy the interaction and the networking that I get with that side of things than I have with anything else with this hobby.
What shows are doing better for you on the rodents? Like the 1 day little shows or like the 2 day show me show type show? Like, or is it more like by area or what's your thoughts on that so far?
Well, the main thing, the goal that we had was just cover for us to be there. You know what I mean? Let's, you know, if it's going to cost us $150 for this table and it's going to cost us $60 to drive and gas down there, and if it's a 2 day, we're going to stay for $100 at a hotel overnight, just cover that for us. You know, make us be there and be relevant. You know, it's harder to set up at a show with snakes and go blank, which we all know we've done before. You know, we've shown up, paid all this money to show up at a show and not one damn snake sale. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, I wanted to eliminate that. So I had said from the beginning when I talked to Zach Melton, who's one of my other partners, and Joe Kebb, both of them are up in Indiana, Dragon Balls and Nicodemus Feeders is basically what his name is, but Zach Melton Reptiles. So, you know, the main thing I was like, my goal is just, you know, make it zero, make it know where when I show up at a show that if I sell a snake, that's green ass money for me, you know, to do whatever I need to do, either put back into my other projects, pay myself back from all the investments that I've made or whatever. And we weren't getting that before we got into thinking about doing frozen feeders and stuff like that. We weren't getting that. And I wasn't going to be that guy that starts showing up with fucking 3D printed fucking animals and having them all around my tables. And, you know, and then slowly your 8 racks of snakes shows into one. And all you've got is Pikachu fucking keychains that you made off your 3D printer just to make yourself relevant to show up to a show. I wasn't going to do that. You know, I wasn't going to do that at all. So, like I said, I was fortunate enough to have that conversation with Zach and Joe at the SERE in Duluth last year, and we just kind of took off from there. So, like I said, my goal has been able to be zero. I've paid to be here. Now what? And fortunately for us, it's been a little bit more than that. You know, it's paid for what we need to do to set up, but then it's also gave us enough money to reinvest. And basically we decided for our first year too, we're going to reinvest in everything. If I spend this much money, if I make this much money, it's going right back into buying more stock and then having it at our shows, updating our stuff. Like we moved from a cooler would draw ice at the bottom of it to a fully functioning cooler that plugs in and keeps everything cold for us. And our next step, of course, is to go with a full, you know, a full freezer with the wheels on it and the trailer and stuff like that. But we've told ourselves that the rats are going to buy this stuff for us. We're not going to, we let the snake say, you owe us one. You know what I mean? The rats have bought everything that we've done so far, and that's been great for us. We're hoping to move over into rabbits and stuff like that here momentarily pretty soon. I'm pretty excited about that. Just talking to people there, they're like, we know I make rabbits, and I've always looked for a good avenue to be able to sell these to these. I'm like, here's your avenue right here. I'm wide enough to be a fucking road in the first place, so jump on it. Let's roll, you know. So I'm pretty excited about the future when it comes to that. I'd like to start being able to branch out a little bit more. It's a little tougher here in Tennessee because there are shows that offer exclusives, and those people have been at it so long. You know, it's kind of hard to run people off that charge, you know, $5 for one rat, one pinky rat at a show and are able to get away with it because they're the only person there. So right. It's hard to get into those shows. But hopefully over time, with just the handshakes and the hugs and high fives that we give, that we show them that we're not afraid, we're not going away, and that we're here to offer good quality product to people that love the hobby and love their animals.
So when you go to Southeast next week and you're going to have like a bazillion animals, are you still bringing rodents there?
So, Bob already has exclusives. We are in line to be one of those people that show up for that. But as of right now, Bob has the people that are considered his frozen rat vendors. Me and Zach both have reached out and said, hey, you know, we're willing to step in and make that happen whenever that happens. But at the same time, we're still here to support you. We still love you. We're going to show up with our animals regardless. Fortunately for us, especially when it comes to most of the AARPE shows with Troy and Nick Sloan, we are able to set up and sell our rodents there. So mostly the Tennessee show, the Tennessee show and whatever show that's going to be close will be something that I'll end up doing with Troy and Nick at the AARPE show. Zach's going to be able to hit the rest of them. You might be buying from two different company names, but ultimately it's the same product, which I'm pretty excited about too. So, and Zach does shipping. He's set up for that stuff. So it's good to know that if somebody goes, I need something in Texas, I can go, well, reach out to my boy. He can get it to you here, you know, next week, you know, compared to me, it's like, I'm not going to drive and meet you halfway. If you're just wanting three packs of animals from me and you're in Texas, so we'll just have to wait till I'm able to jump through those government hoops and start shipping myself.
Right. Yeah. So, you do king snakes as well, you said, right?
I do. Yeah. We've got a couple of different locales. Just recently bought a trio of Florida king snakes that are like lavender mosaics, which are pretty awesome. Growing them up slow, but as we know with king snakes, they're slow rollers. You know, they take 3 years to be fully ready. So I've got a set of deserts that I'm working that'll be like albino, xanthic kind of thing. I've also got some Cali deserts, which I love. I love the Cali kings. Those are probably my favorite. They're the assholes of the bunch. So I love them, and they'll be the same thing. Xanthic lavender, xanthic albino, something like that. But I really do love my Florida Kings too, but it's a slow roll. It'll be a long time before I have something of my own product available, but I love them. I'll say this. If I had a Cali King before I had a ball python, we would not be great balls of fry right now. We'd be something else. Kings of whatever. Cause I would be selling nothing but California or nothing but king snakes. Cause I absolutely love them. I love their attitude. I love their eating, the way they eat. There's overall, they're my favorite animal. So I say, ball pythons pay the bills, but my love is with the kings.
Yeah, I just had my first Mexican black kings hatch, so that's cool. Yeah.
I've got one of those. I've got one of yours, so I love her. She's insane. She's turning like grape Kool-Aid color, which I love. You know, like that really, it's dark, but it's not at the same time. You kind of can still see a little bit of color in there.
Yeah, it's it's weird when they're born, they got a little bit of white on their sides.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so it's cool. They're not as black as like my adults are, you know, but yeah, man, I like my kings a lot too. They're they're fun. They're, you know, they're totally different than a ball python. So
yeah, it's just and they're great to have around if you're a ball python breeder as well, you know, for those times when they come in really handy. So that good old circle of life, it's good to have kings around for stuff like that anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what's your, show circuit looking like for the rest of the year? Are you doing a bunch? So, how many you got on the board?
July, we decided to take the whole month off. It's been tough because I bought up a bunch of stock and it kind of put us back at zero and maybe a smidge under where I would like to be as far as like what we have in our kitty ready to go. Sat on my hands several times where I could have reached out and just gone and done a show, even a one day show or something like that. But we decided we're taking July off. We deserve it. When we crank back up in August, we won't probably have a show where I show up with snakes and rats probably until later in August. There's a one day show in Gadsden that we love to go do with Terry Herring down there, Terry and Nikki Herring. That's their local show. And I love going down there and setting up with those guys. Those are my neighbors at Tinley. If that makes sense. Dixie Reptiles. So it's always fun to go hang out with them.
They lost the orange dream pie and Connor found it at Tinley.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And the guy gave Connor $100 for turning it in.
he absolutely needed to, because he is known for that's Dixie. Terry's another one of those old school guys, man, where, you know, if I were to show up with just a box of snakes at a show, they would just sit in that box. You know what I mean? It wouldn't happen. But like Terry doesn't even have to do the marking. You know, he doesn't even have to put the names out there. People come to the shows looking for him or like, what you got for me, Terry? And it's like, oh, I've only made these orange dream pods. And then like 2 hours later, his whole rack is empty and they're moving crested geckos that Nikki made over into their spots because he just, you know, people just know him and he's got that network. And when people are looking for snakes, they always come to look for him. So it probably did him good that Connor found it because it definitely would have had it for somebody when he got back to Alabama if he didn't sell it at Tinley.
Yeah. You know what else that guy did too? He gave me one of those extension cords that are on a reel that has like a plug on the side.
And oh yeah.
Like, oh, I think you need this. And I was like, really, man?
Those things.
He's like, no, you can have it. And I was like,
until you're on a show circuit and you work a show circuit where like you're doing more than just one or two shows a year, you do not know how valuable some of that stuff is until you've done it. You know, you just think, oh, I'm just setting up for one or two shows. I can just run. No, those things come in so handy. It's insane.
Well, yeah, it totally meets my like pack up and leave in 5 minutes thing too. Cause I'm just like unplug real.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We've got I'm curious what Atlanta's going to be like, but of course, you know, Bob is Bob, you know, you've done that show. It's almost like they've got guys waiting to pack you in ready to go. So I can't really gauge what it's going to be like for me at another show. Cause you know, Bob takes care of everything for us. Shout out to Bob Vu cause he does a great job with his shows. But, yeah, I'm curious to what it's going to be like when I've got four or five, you know, cases full of animals. And if I am doing a show where I've got frozen feeders too, we're going to be around that threshold of 30 minutes that me and you talk about. Cause it's going to be tough, especially if it's something where Jennifer's inside packing and I'm outside loading. I'm hoping we can keep it under 30 minutes. Cause that would be awesome, but we'll see. That's what the fun's going to be this year.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I'm looking forward to, seeing you in Nashville too. I like that Nashville show too.
It's after doing the Nashville show, it was a sigh of relief. And I'll tell you why, because you know, for 30 plus years, we had an exotic club that set up and just did a show twice a year, did a fall show and a spring show like Tinley does, you know, and it's like one of those things where, you know, it's $40 for a table, you know, all the proceeds go to the club, you know, and all this stuff like that. So it wasn't like something super crazy. It was like $2 to get in, you know? So it's, you know, you even got your crowd where they just want to come in and look at a snake or look at a bird or whatever. So, you know, I whenever we lost that show, I was like, man, we're really going to be missing out on something great. I mean, it's a great area. It's a destination city, as you know. So I was getting kind of worried because really the only other thing that we had was Repticon showing up and acting like they want to be there for, you know, a couple times a year. But then, like, Mickey had a show, but it was in Lebanon, so it wasn't necessarily we had a Nashville show. So when Troy came to me about wanting to do a show there, it was awesome to know that, you know, we had a chance to get something back nice. And when we did that show, it, like I said, it just basically made all my worries go away, because there's nothing like going to a big show and sleeping in your own bed. You know what I mean? It's like, there's just nothing like it. So knowing that I could drive 30 minutes, 35 minutes down the road and do a nice big following show, you know, we're going to have a lot of people through the door and a lot of chance at making some good money, and making some good sales and some good networking, you know, and knowing that I could go home and you know, dogs are going to jump in my bed and sleep with me. It's not going to be something where I'm, you know, I'm worried about the toilets flushing in the room two rows over from me because the walls were so thin. So after that show, I was super excited about him doing it. And he's full time here now. The 2026 shows are set to go. There's going to be a fall and a spring, just like normal. So I'm super excited about that. And hopefully that'll open the door for some other promoters that want to come in and do something in between, because it's definitely a good spot and it's definitely a good building to do something like that in. So,
well, yeah, we got a fall show this year too. We got the October.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, unfortunately, that's happening the same weekend as either his Virginia. I think the Colorado show's that same weekend. That Colorado show's a big one. Yeah. So.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. That's not on our side of the United States.
Right.
So it might as
right,
well not exist.
So, fortunately for me, I get to kind of spread my wings and be the, you know, maybe the person that's the gopher for them too, so I could get to learn that side of the hobby too. So, I'm looking forward to that. But it's also, you know, I get to see all my friends, man. I mean, y'all are my family. You know what I mean? I don't really have, outside the family that I made myself, I don't really have family anymore. So it's like, you know, it's like a family reunion when you get to come to a show, and when, you know, my buddies Zach and Joe and all them get to come down, you know, the afterwards and going out to eat or coming back to my house and, you know, eating ice cream and getting drunk and looking at snakes. You know, to me, that's why I do this. You know, this is the only hobby or anything that I've done outside of my job that's had the best relationships that I've built, you know, over my time of doing things. So just to know that, you know, I could say, we're not going to go spend $100 a piece down the street on hot chicken. I'm going to take you back to my house and we're going to eat steaks that I've been smoking for the last 12 hours on my grill, you know? So,
right.
I'm just happy to know that's something that we're going to get back. So, and it can only grow from here. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. I really like, you know, when I first moved to Tennessee, there wasn't like a big show real close. And then now we got a bunch. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was always that creep, you know, and I bash Recticon. I'm sorry. I don't mean to do that. I don't mean that in a bad way whatsoever. They're horrible in Tennessee. But, you know, they do well in Georgia. So, you know, it was always, we could sneak off and go see some of these Florida boys that come up for that Georgia show or, you know, or whatever. So whenever Bob started, and there was Reptilian Nation, which kind of did well. And I think it on its own level still kind of does well. But, you know, thankfully Bob just kind of, the year that they weren't going to have it, just kind of said, well, you know what, you know, it's kind of like did the Thanos thing, you know, fine, I'll just do it myself, you know, and started coming up with the show. So yeah, it's grown up a lot, you know, the Show Me circuit does really well about being, Knoxville, you know, having their show in Knoxville. They just recently started going back to Memphis, which I enjoy because what family I do have, distant cousins, they're there. So I get to go see them and stuff like that. And so, you know, they serve the purpose. We also, Mayo's Morph has a show that they do one day and 2 day shows that are up in Kentucky. They're really good. So, you know, I could stick to just being local on the frozen feeder side of things and probably do really well. But, you know, I can't sit on my hands too long. You know, I've got to say what's next when it comes to situations. And I'd love to be able to come to a Tinley or love to be able to go to a Bob show and be able to do a full setup with everything I offer. But, you know, that time will come. Right. We'll just make sure we've got the best of whatever we got when we show up, no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's shift gears for a minute. So out of all these snakes that you're hatching this year, like what are you looking forward to the most?
Well, it's weird because I'm so simple when it comes to stuff. Now I've made some nice stuff. I've made some redhead clowns that are head hypo, which is what I was hoping. I was shooting for a hypo clown, but you just wasn't in the cards. We didn't have a lot of luck with that. There were some head to head pairings on things. It was a double head hypo clown to a clown head hypo, so I knew the shots would be astronomical to hit a double visual. But nonetheless, I hit two, so, and they're both female, so there goes the idea, do I keep them or try again next year, that thought of that. But honestly, it's the simple stuff. I think the funnest thing that I made this year is a Super Stripe Redhead combo, which was Leo Spotnose Super Stripe Redhead. And it just came out absolutely insane. Like, when I saw it, it made me second guess what the pairing was, because it came out such this flat, like amber orange look. I was like, what else could be in here? Did I mix up and put a high OD girl boy in here, or what's the deal? Cause we do work OD too, but you know, then the other stuff started coming out. So I knew it wasn't, but you know, I think that was probably the biggest surprise for me, is just to see how well, you know, the single gene reaction with redhead to me, it's still, I'm a simple meat and potatoes kind of guy. So it could have been a multi gene redhead, hypo clown, heck, DG, whatever, which would be astronomically well for either my project or to sell. But seeing a redhead Hyote hypo or a redhead butter hypo, especially now that we've proved butter and lesser aren't the same, you know, you get to see an actual good copy of butter and what it's doing in redhead. It's just, you know, to me, it's just amazing what I've made this year, and to be able to see it. So it's kind of tough for me to pick out something, but I would have to say Super Stripe stuff to me was the most exciting stuff that I would hatch this year.
Yeah. right on. Yeah. I like how you're like working it in steps. I'm kind of doing that with shrapnel too. I didn't want to throw it into like too much at once, because I don't know. I won't know how to ID it, you know?
Right. Well, yeah, you don't want to be known for something and all of a sudden somebody comes to you with something and all of a sudden you're like, damned if I know, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
You know, it's only a matter of time. If all I'm working is ready, people are going to go, well, go to Moose. He'll know. Well, I didn't eat my life cereal today, so I don't know. You know, I didn't eat my Wheaties. I am not going to know everything, you know? So just to know that, you know, over time, I'll have some sort of threshold on knowing what has redhead and what is not is going to be fun. And I'll be able to see it because I've been able to hatch it. You know, I'm not just going to take somebody else's word for it. So,
yeah. Anyone that asks me about redhead, like, hey, you worked redhead, can you help me ID this? I'll be like, no, just ask Moose. I send them to you, bro. No, I had a couple clutches, man. No, ask Moose.
Yeah, I got a buddy Yeti Morphs. He, you know, when he's coming, you know, Tinley, he'll come around the corner. He's like man on a mission. Of course, you know, Yeti's like literally 10 feet tall. No joke. Biggest dude I've ever seen. So like he comes around the corner. He's got this little bitty ass string in his hand, which is a snake. But to me, it looks like a little bitty ass string because of his big ass hands. And, you know, he's got that look on his face. Like he's going to come over here and ask me if this stranger pastel pinstripe, whatever he made, is there redhead in this, you know? So I'm like, you know, Yeti, we'll figure it out, buddy. I mean, it's like, you know, I had to ask him one time when we were out eating after I kind of befriended him. I was like, what made you think to come to me? I'm just this little dude with one table here at Tinley that barely is in Tinley. You know what I mean? I'm not even, you know, something where I've made, you know, enough to be able to consider myself a pro at this. He's like, everybody tells me I need to come talk to you. So yeah. I guess that's just something that's been placed on my mantle for me. So I'm trying to do my best to be able to make some stuff so I can at least have an idea when somebody does approach me.
Well, you would think, because redhead's not like brand new or anything, you would think maybe somebody would be working on a test for it or something.
I've been stockpiling my sheds. I think I've sent a couple to Charlie. I'm not really sure. There for a while, I think I just sent in some stuff because there was some posshead stuff that I was dealing with, and I think I maybe might have sent some redhead stuff. But yeah, it's not. I think there's still so much out there that people want to have that it's not like people are like jumping on making a redhead thing. Because honestly, if you sit back and think about it, unless you've got a ton of stuff in it, you could kind of figure it out if you look at it over time, especially if you're looking at other people's stuff that they've made. Yeah. You can see where there's a difference with redhead and when there's not. So,
right, yeah. Yeah, I agree. But, you know, it's still handy to have a test just to
verify. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's a couple. I think I found out that my butter's got Huffman in it, too. So that's something that I've got to deal with because I think I've made some redhead Huffman hypo stuff, or I've made some, you know, some redhead butter Huffman stuff that I got to try to figure out. So, yeah, it'd be nice if I know I could go, is it got redhead or not? Because if it don't, it's got butter and Huffman in it, you know.
Right.
Or
right.
Is this got redhead in it, or if not, it's Huffman, you know. So, because they're kind of close, they're both granite genes anyway. So,
yeah, but Huffman's in the eight ball complex, though, right?
It is along with black pastel. And you know, sometimes you could catch a really good copy of a hypo black pastel, even furrow. Sometimes you have some furrow hypo stuff pop up. It takes you a second to go, you know, is this redhead? And I've actually told a couple people that work those, be very careful, because the first couple copies of redhead that I saw when I was introduced into that group was a lot of black pastel redhead stuff. And I was like, man, how are you even seeing this? Because if I'm seeing a black pastel hypo by itself, I'm pretty close to thinking this is redhead myself. And I actually got a furrow mixed up, a furrow baby mixed up. Just trying to show the difference to one person. I actually got a furrow baby mixed up in my group going, well, hell, I can't really tell which one's furrow and which one's not in this group of eight. But, you know, once you were able to find out where that was and you went one-to-one on them, you could start to see it. But if you looked at them in that group, it was hard to tell which right. one was furrow and which one was redhead. So they're pretty close. And I've told a few people you might want to steal clear and make those two separate projects, because the last thing you want to do is, you know, wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning with these babies that you found and say, help me, because I'm probably not going to be able to.
Yeah. Something I noticed about furrow, I was looking at it the other day and it's single form, and like the single form similar to shrapnel single form too. Yeah. Yep. I was like, man, maybe those two projects should be, like you said, like kept apart. I know they combo out different, but like, How do you know what's what when you start banging everything together, you know?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to pride myself on guaranteeing the sex and the genetics of my animals. That was just something that I said, if I start selling them, I don't want to be that guy that's like, you know, because we know all the whole story about how when I originally started, I had a different name and I was getting these cranky emails where people were talking to me like cavemen and like, this boy is girl, and thinking that I sold them something because my name was kind of close to this other person who might have flipped some animals along the way, trying to get rid of some stuff that they bought that they realized they didn't want. So, yeah, I didn't want to be that person. So I always told myself, I was going, thanks for the show, by the way. That's pretty awesome.
That's you doing it.
I didn't do that. I didn't mean to do it if I did. So, I wanted to be able to.
Your camera does it.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks, Mac. I didn't even know it does.
You've been giving thumbs up the whole show too.
Yeah, right. So
little thumbs up that? Float around. Yeah.
Oh, hey. What if I did? What's that one? Sorry. Don't do that one. Oh, come on. I just wanted to see if it worked. What about? Is it going to put some tea up if I put some fingers up? No. Just do it again. Yeah. There we go. Oh, that's too much fun, man. I shouldn't have known that happens. So anyway, yeah, we wanted to jump from the beginning and say that we wanted to get, and you know, so when we're having these babies, I don't want to sit here and say, oh yeah, this is redhead. And then you 2-3 years from now, you're telling me it's not, you know, so I want you to be able to feel comfortable when you buy from me that you're getting what you're getting. And I'm not 2 years from now be going, well, you know, I always said that it could be, it could be not, you know, I want to be that person that, you know, you guarantee, you're guaranteeing to get what you get from me.
Right. Right. Yeah. It helps out, man. And I think you're doing it the right way by like easing into it and comboing it up yourself and hatching them out. So that's the real way you learn to ID stuff. That's what I try to tell people, that like, they send me pictures of like genetics I've never worked with. Like, do you think this has that? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, yeah, I've never hatched anything in that project. That's how I learned. Is hatching
exactly.
Myself, you know?
Yeah. I get stranger stuff. I automatically am like, yeah, you need to holler at Mike Kano with Fable Creations, because I cannot help you with that. You know, so do you want redhead? I'll definitely give you my personal opinion, but everything else, let's just chalk this up me still being a newbie. So I still don't even have strangers, so there you go. So
I hit up Mike Kano for some high OD help, because that high OD I got from you, that was actually from him.
Yeah.
I hatched babies, and I'm like, I've never worked Orange Dream. That's never been in my wheelhouse. I'm
right,
like,
exactly.
These ones are bright, though. I think they have it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I've got some redhead high OD stuff that I'm looking forward. We're IDing everything this weekend, all the animals that we're going to take with us to Atlanta, just to make sure we're 100%. And I'm pretty stoked about seeing what that redhead high OD stuff, especially with the with them having some food in their bodies, how much better they look. But my blackhead ended up having red gene and ringer gene in it too. So I've got a bunch of redhead, black head, red gene, ringer gene, hypo stuff too. So it's probably going to take a lot of Jack Daniels and Kleenex, because there's probably there. I'm going to need one to get drunk over this, or I'm going to cry about it. So,
well, that's a good parlay. So, we're both going to be at Southeast next weekend. Mm-hmm. What kind of animals are you bringing? Like, you know, shout yourself out. Tell people what you're bringing.
I should have a little bit. I don't know if I'm going to just keep everything for the sake of doing it, but I should have some turbo stuff that's growing up that's going to be Doublehead Hypo Clown. Lucky my wife's not here. She would tell you how she feels about turbo, but,
I was going to bring it up, but I thought, I'll leave that for behind closed door.
but yeah, so I should have some turbo stuff. I'm still kind of being, you know, it kind of phased out. It was one that was there for a while, and I even got to be part of a turbo group, and thank God that it's still existing, because there's been a couple times that I need to look at something and I'm like, I don't know if it's there or not. So I was able to go and look at some of the older stuff that some of the people that were in the hobby then that still had pictures up. So it's helped me out a ton. And I've kept it simple. You know, I think we used your little Pastavi girl to make something with the turbo stuff. And my turbo stuff only has like fire in it. So I figure that's a little easy to pick stuff out from it. People aren't aware with turbo. Turbo is almost like a non-recessive desert ghost. It brightens really well and enhances really well. And they look like DGs, especially when they're babies. So I'm pretty excited about that, especially if I'm able to get a boy from outside. I'm not even sure if I've got a boy. I think that one I sent you a picture of, the Firefly Turbo, is a boy. Yeah. So that'll be pretty awesome to hold him back and see what's going on with that. But I should have some turbo stuff. I'll definitely have a lot of redhead stuff. So people are looking for, you know, base entry, good quality redhead hypo stuff to add to your projects. I definitely should have that. Even if it's something where you're interested and I haven't posted on Morph Market yet, just, you know, hit me up on Facebook or on Instagram or whatever. Or if you're in our Discord, just text me, you know, let me know. And I'll go ahead and give you a first glance at what I've got, what I think I have. You know, kind of beat it to the punch, but I'll have a lot of good redhead hypo combo stuff this year for people. So, cool. And more than likely the way things are going right now, if I had to make a game time decision right now, probably both my redhead clown head hypos will be available as well.
All right. Well, everyone out there listening to this, if you need redhead hypo stuff and you're going to Southeast, go see Great Balls of Fryer.
I'll have some high OD hypo stuff too, which is another one of my favorites. And just different derivatives from that, you know, the females that I used were butter hypos, and I still call them orangey ghosts because I'm in love with just the orange ghost line of it. But some butter OGs, some blackhead OG stuff was our females. Didn't really do any shots this year for a super redhead because people do believe that super redheads out there, but I'm too busy making other things right now and getting some more recessives on board to take a shot at that yet. But it's in the works, definitely for sure.
Oh yeah.
And I'll have just some normal stuff too. You know, we've got we work Candido projects, so I've got a lot of great Candido stuff. If you're into that, if you're like look for those basic little orange and white snakes, we make really good Candinos. So I'll have a lot of good stuff with that. I did make some super stripe this stuff this year. I'm hopefully my Inchy Mystic Black Pastel Candino will be on display at Bob's table, or I don't know, is Leviathan doing the display thing where people were putting in animals for people to look at?
But it's blind. You're not supposed to announce what you're bringing.
Oh. Hold on, let me put on my sunglasses. I'm bringing. Whoops. Well, I'm not going to tell you what but my entries, I'm pretty excited about my entries. So we'll just leave it at that. You pretty much are going to know what I'm bringing already anyway. Let's just be honest. If you see something on the table, it's got something in it that may be something that might be a tentpole project of mine. It might be mine. Who knows?
I'll have two animals over there as well.
Non-recessive and recessive. I'll have one of each. So I'm pretty stoked out about that.
I have two going in recessives. And we actually have Courtney jumping on here next week to like talk for about 15 minutes on the reptile showcase. Line us all out on that. So everyone that's going to Southeast, go check out Moose at Great Balls of Fryer. I'll be there. I'll have hogs, balls. And I should have a couple king snakes with me too, Mexican black kings. So,
Hopefully, we'll buy. I remember because last time Bob talked about the Tennessee island. So, hopefully, it'll be something where we're kind of all close together. I know last minute they kind of stuck me in the Blair Witch corner, you know, with my head against the wall. So, hopefully, I'll be back out in the mix over by all my little Tennessee friends this next time. So,
I think that's the rumor I heard too. So
That'll be awesome.
Well, where can everyone find you before we go, Moose?
So I meant to bring one of my cards that has my QR code on, and I was going to like hold it up here like this, you know, and then do a thumbs up and then, you know, and then go from there. But like, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram. It's all Great Balls of Fryer. I think fortunately for me, and not a lot of people have been labeled as a moose. So I definitely think if you could type in moose under the Facebook thing, you should find my page. But my frozen feeder page is Snake Haven Feed Company. So there's always that as well. I always offer people, if you're going to see me at a show and you need feeders, I always offer a pre-order discount. So if you're like wanting to get your stuff and just pick it up there, you can. I've been fortunate enough to be able to be, sponsored by Redline Shipping. So all my purchases, when you buy rats from me, come in thermal bags so that they're good for 3 hours or 4 hours after you leave. They're not just, you know, you're not praying that they don't fall out before you get home. You know, they're going to be in a nice thermal bag that were provided by Robin and Redline Shipping. So big shout out to them for that. Always offer a pre-discount for that. And if it's something you see, I always give non-show prices for people if they see a snake and want to pick it up at a show. So if it's something where you want to beat the gun and not look in my displays and want to know something ahead of, just reach out to me. I'm available on pretty much all the platforms, even in Discord. I think I'm in your group, and I'm also in Will Moreau's Royal Canadian Discord. So I'm sure between somebody, we're 6 degrees away from somebody that can get in touch with me. So always don't ever be afraid to reach out, even if you just want to. If you just want to shoot the shit, I'll be more than happy to do that with you.
Well, hell yeah. Thank you for coming on. Jay, did you have any like final questions for Moose?
No, you guys pretty much covered everything. I just sat here and listened.
I just the plethora of knowledge that I learned from Jay on this show this week, it will follow me to the grave. I absolutely enjoyed all the banter back and forth between me and Jay. It is pretty awesome. It'll go down in history.
So, well, you know, when we're in the green room, Jay's like, oh, I don't really know Moose or anything. I'm like, Moose has got it, man. And like, we're good. He could talk.
This is the easiest fill-in for me ever.
All right. Well,
one more thumbs up. More thumbs up. Thanks, MacBook.
All right, everyone.
Enjoyed it. Thanks for bringing me on. I really do. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. And thanks to everyone in the chat. And thanks to everyone that listens on the replay and the audio. Till next time, guys. Rock on. See you next Wednesday.